Hey, what it do, what the business is?
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown. If you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and sometimes Snap.
I am Spike Lou in the social media streets, Instagram and the tweet streets.
TikTok.
It's the only place that you'll find me. What is TikTok? I have no idea what that even
is. Where you just created your profile at.
No, I have seen TikTok now since we've been on quarantine life and all of that shit is just everywhere. So yeah, I've seen the TikToks.
I wonder if I can get stock in TikTok.
You didn't try the TikToks?
Absolutely.
You definitely got a TikTok dance.
I'm not dancing.
I want 100% seeing you with a TikTok
dance. One person you ain't got to worry about dancing, people. It's your man.
I don't believe that.
What we got on deck, man?
This week on the On Deck TV podcast, amidst quarantine, the music business asked for a bailout from your boy 4-5. Block boy JB is a Trump fan. Mm. And we rap with Dead End Hip Hop's FIFO. It's going to be a great interview, man. Y'all check that out. But first, Are you rocking with the artists and DJs, most notably DJ Nice?
D-Nice,
doing his thing on IG over the past weekend. He had 100K plus 2-3 nights in a row, man. Was you rocking with that? Is that a good thing?
Yeah, shout out to Big Jeff in the group chat. I believe he was the first to mention D-Nice was going in on IG on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a believer at all. At
you
first.
He was shaking it like that.
Nah,
you know who D-Nice was.
I remembered the name, streets. The throwback joint. But I'm thinking to myself, why in the hell would I sit in front of my phone and watch a DJ play music? I couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah.
I checked it out Sunday night, and that shit was a vibe. Mm. I'm not going to lie. I was drinking.
So you were dancing?
No, absolutely not. On my wine, shout out to Napa Valley. I was drinking, and I was having a good time listening to him. He was shaking it. It was almost like a real club experience because you're looking at the phone, and you're seeing the people who are joining in or who are commenting that they joined in. And it's famous people. It's people you know. Like, I'm seeing all kind of shit, bro.
It's something about watching something with other people live. Like, it's just something about that shit that's just like,
it makes it a
moment. Yeah, it makes it a moment. Like, other people get to feel what you're feeling. I'm here for it. I think he did his thing. Like you said, you get to see the other people in there commenting on it. And most of all, like, everybody sitting around the house, he giving you, like, he's sharing his art. I talked
Absolutely.
About this when I was on the podcast with Chris Platt not too long ago when we first got hit with this COVID-19 stuff. And I said, this is going to be a telltale time for a lot of content creators to be able to flex their muscle. We sitting around for 2 weeks, you're really not able to do anything. People get to go on IG Live and really be themselves. Lil Boosie, another guy who we've committed, he's done his thing over the last couple of days. He's been training. So it is a place, and it's a time period during all this down sad time where people go on there to make you laugh and do different things. I'm all here for it.
Yeah, man. I saw that Sway Lee was the first person I saw actually throw like a concert. He was in studio and he was like, man, I'm gonna do like a concert. He crowd surfing and everything in the studio.
Well, John Legend was singing on there with Christy Teigen. He had his wife like sitting on the piano. Man, this shit.
John Legend, cheat code, though.
Cheat code? Yeah, nigga, it sounds like E in the fucking studio.
She probably sounded good
as fuck. This nigga just, nigga, he hits you with the note. Like, you're like, damn, nigga, is that a record? That nigga super cheat code, but he was doing the thing live on his piano, too.
Anthony Hamilton did a live show.
Fire.
Erykah Badu announced a $1 live show.
A dollar, so you that's the move, right?
Yeah,
there.
But you put it behind Snapchat. A paywall. You probably doing on like a Zoom or something.
That's real.
And you do a dollar show.
Dollar show, we coming to y'all. Run it, boss.
People, I'm loving that what this time is bringing out of people, though. People getting real creative. And that's super dope. And I'm here for it. I wasn't sold on the DJ on IG. I was completely wrong. That shit was lit.
This is a time for the content creators to stand up. I really do believe that. I really do.
Yeah. Man, next up, man. Now, the coronavirus has affected the music business. Concerts, festivals, tours. Obviously, they've all been canceled, affecting everybody from the artists to the crews. Musicians like Lizzo and Anderson .Paak have asked Trump to intervene. Do you see a relief package coming for the music business anytime soon?
No, I don't see one coming their way anytime soon. But that's not to say that it's not deserved. The country's basically shut down over the last 2 weeks, and we're talking about tours. We're talking about not only the big name artists like Lizzo and Anderson .Paak, but again, I was talking with Chris Platt about this. We're talking about a mid-level artist, maybe a money bag. Yo, people that are going out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grabbing 20,000-30,000 from these clubs, like, that's not happening anymore. You're stopping there for a whole month. That's $120,000 if you work every weekend. You know what I mean? So a major adjustment is going to have to be made. And going to the government, they see them bailing out the rest of these industries, and music is one of the number one industries in America. Yeah. It's one of our biggest exports as far as like what we send over. So I could see them doing that, but I think there has to be a lot more organization for this to even happen, and a lot more representation in politics for musicians, not just voting or dying.
Yeah. I think people got to realize, man, how many jobs are affected by the music business. Nigga, that's the bus drivers. That's the stage hands, lighting, sound, nigga, the security. Mm-hmm. Like, all of that is put to a screeching halt. They're asking for help via tax benefits or interest-free loans or even direct support. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they'll take that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's hit Trump radar like that yet, though. Because, honestly, there's other industries that are probably a little more vital to the fabric of the country in terms of making it run that True. Could probably use a bailout or maybe a little bit closer to the top of the list than Lizzo and Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
And not to say they don't need it. Don't get it twisted, but
I think this is a time, we talked about this before, how musicians lend themselves out to politicians during election season.
True.
How we say we would like to see more kickback from that.
Absolutely.
Like, nothing really never happens when you get the vote or die campaigns. This is a time to say, hey, you remember when I was voting or dying for you and I sent all of these people your way? What are you doing for us? And also, we'll remember this in the future if you don't do anything for us when you come and say, hey, how about you get everybody together at a concert? You're like, nah, bro, remember we were struggling? I ain't got nothing for you. So this is
a
key
point.
Time to be able to see what politicians will actually do for musicians and those favors being cashed in.
Too bad the politician that got elected, nobody musician-wise supported.
Your boy was up there. Yay.
He ain't looking for no bailout. He good, though.
That's true.
Let's go, yay.
Republicans going Republican.
Me and yay good out here in these streets. I see you, boy.
Me and yay good and nasty.
In the meantime, if you do want to support your indie artists, man, please stream their music, buy merch.
Stream the music, buy your merch.
Share it on social media.
Just consume content while you are quarantined.
Well, you ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Next, Kodak Black, Luda, Cardi. Speaking of the COVID-19 crisis, they donate to help with it. You think that hip-hop is making their voice loud enough and doing enough?
Shout out to Kodak Black. Donated 5,000 in school supplies to students in his hometown in Broward.
Mean PR campaign.
Yeah. Cardi B donated proceeds from her coronavirus song.
She also did a national anthem, the coronavirus song.
I don't believe that.
You heard the coronavirus song?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the coronavirus. Yeah, that's the one she donated to. She's donating proceeds from that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's donating proceeds from that to the cause.
I don't believe they made it on iTunes.
Yeah, it's true. It was funny. Trending and everything.
That's funny.
Charting and everything. Shout out to Lecrae. He put 15 portable sinks with soap dispensers around the Atlanta for the homeless. So people are definitely doing shit.
Yeah.
But who, like, I'm not the person to say what somebody should or shouldn't be doing.
But
and there's a lot of. No, there's a lot of feel-good stories out here. Those are just a few. It's a lot of people doing shit. Ludacris doing some stuff. There's a lot of people doing stuff, man. So, but to be fair, we named a couple of big, you know, those are big-time artists. They're straight.
Right.
But a lot of these artists out here are check to check, bro. Like, let's not get it twisted, because you see them iced up. You see them with designer shit on. You see them on TV and doing big things. A lot of them have big expenses as well. And when their money stops, those expenses, you still have to keep going, man. And that upkeep on them big boy houses ain't no hoe. Them notes on those whips ain't no hoe. So there's a lot of shit that they have to keep paying. Some of them have a lot of child support things going on. So it's tough. I can't expect everyone to be out here just loaning out their bread when they ain't got nothing coming in either, to be fair, to shoot some artists some bail. So I do think that people are doing good things out here. I'll just focus on the ones that are.
I don't think it's hip-hop job to come through and provide help during this crisis. At any thing that you get on top of it is a plus. So shout out to Kodak, Luda, Cardi. I agree with you. I don't expect to see these people doing these things just because they made it, or or they got the diamonds on, or we see them on TV. I don't expect that.
And the people do shit year round, by the way, too.
Yeah, and these people do stuff year round all the time. Music, the best way I think for hip hop to contribute is to continue to give us content. I think that while we're going through this time and of uncertainty, this is a time for memorable music to be made, like memorable projects possibly to be dropped. That's the biggest contribution I feel like the artist could make. They can make people feel good. And like, I'm not here asking for nobody's money, no handouts. But if they are, like, they are artists, you know, give something back. Like, come on with that Kendrick. Come on with the, come on with that Drake.
I don't know, man.
Come on with all of that. Now, and people may not buy it. Like, it may not do well in numbers. But that be, like, it ain't got to do numbers right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? That may be me not being capitalist, but there are ways that musicians and other people like that are able to give back, like DJ Nice did. Like, they can do those things through Instagram, through projects. It's easier than ever to record an album now.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know what I mean? Like, if that's the thing that in which some fans need or some people need to get through, I feel like that they should do that.
Shout out to Chandler Gambino. He dropped his surprise project finally on streaming sites.
It came out already.
Yeah, it came out on Sunday. Of course it is. He's the most talented man in music.
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx don't make music no more.
Jamie Foxx do make music.
Man, he ain't had a song in years,
Jamie
nigga.
Jamie Foxx is a better singer. He's a
blame
better
it on
actor.
The Al.
He's
where
a better
is that?
Comedian. I'm just telling you, Jamie Foxx, man. Hey.
Now, we mentioned the live shows on IG that have popped off, and we've even seen some journalists holding interviews like Elliot Wilson with artists. If you had a hip-hop quarantine wish list, whether that's a secret album drop, whether that's an IG live studio session, or just a Q&A on some one-on-one shit, what would you like to see?
I would like to see, I'm going to go for the low-hanging fruit at first here, my guy Kendrick. It's always an event when he drops. I feel like he could be one of those guys that do a tweet, hey, meet me at IG Live at 12 o'clock. I'm going over 10 new songs that I'm doing. They ain't got a release. It ain't got to be a project. Just, hey, I'm in the yo. Let's vibe out to these 10 songs. You guys come in here to do the comment thing. I think something like that would be epic. That would be a new milestone in hip-hop. Like, people have had, like, Jay dropped on 9/11. People have had different things in history that they associate their albums with. During this quarantine time, you hold, like, a live listening session. You do, like, just random song shit in the studio that you're doing, or you got somebody IG live in your verse. This is where rappers who are truly talented, they're gonna be able to shine.
I would
try to get 1 million people on my live. Like, I like
absolutely.
If I'm Drake, like, I'm coming out with a new song. Like, everybody meet me on my live at such and such. I got the new song cracking. Like, I got LeBron over to the house, all of this shit. Like, I would make it an event. Like, I would make at some point in time during these 2 weeks, I would make the IG live an event. This can make a star, a superstar. This can make a mid-level star a star, but this is an opportunity to do something on your live and really bring a lot of people and get the attention and do something special. If I had my choice, though, I would want to see Kendrick do some unreleased songs and just sit there and, like, vibe with people, respond to some comments, things of that nature. What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, number one, you just want Kendrick because he's been gone the longest.
And he would be and he's, the best at it.
And he's been scared to rap with niggas for the past 3 years.
Scared is an interesting word.
So that's why you would want Kendrick. Everybody is dying for new Kendrick
be
shit because he's been gone the longest.
He would be the best at that, man.
I think J. Cole, if real quick, if I'm going to talk of artists and I'm going to think of some other shit real quick. But I think on the artist level, I think J. Cole needs to do his Dollar and a Dream that he did when he was coming up and that he reintroduced a couple of years later. He needs to do a version of that for the IG Live.
That would be hard.
And that shit would be dope. But see, you can set it up to where, like, you remember when DaBaby was stuck on the plane?
Yeah.
And he performed and did his shit. But he had a plane in the background. It looked kind of dope. It fit his persona whatever.
Right.
If J. Cole could do something of that nature where it fits his persona, whether that's, I don't know, at his old crib or whatever, you know, whatever shit he can think of with no haircut and, you know, the same Jordans on or whatever. I think if he did something like that, that'll be fire. And it would make sense for him. Drake. It just doesn't make sense for a Drake movie. It's not big enough.
We're in
for
different
a Drake
times,
movie.
Though. That's what I'm saying. Like, fam, do you know?
He could sit this one out, though.
Nah, the intimacy that Drake would build with an IG Live, one of his little soft ass songs that he come out with that y'all love, dude. That shit would go fucking crazy.
Nah.
I'm telling you, Drake need to drop that heat in the tub.
That's my guy.
Hey, you at the embassy. What's the name of the house? What's the name of it? The embassy?
I don't know what that shit called. That shit look nuts. Yeah. Oh, it look crazy.
Whatever the name of that shit was, man. Like, have the shit out there, man.
Nah.
All the way.
He's too, that's my guy, but his his shit is too wrapped up. It's too neatly put in a bow to do any type of random shit where people could comment. It's just, that's just not the type of organization that he run. That's not how he put his shit out. His shit be super thought out.
So you think Drake would be scared somebody would get in there and flame his ass up in the comments?
Nah, live, it's just...
Live, you got a nigga just coming for your head like Kendrick gonna come in there and say... Butch is coming, nigga.
Nah.
It's going to end this whole life.
I'm trying. He just not. He's too polished of an artist to do something like that, though.
Similar to like when you thought he was trying to battle rap? Something like that?
Exactly. Mm. Like, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think this is different, though, man. This is like a big event because this is not just happening in one place. Like, this whole quarantine shit, this is what everybody's talking about. Similar to how the DJ did and got his shit cracking. It's because for everybody's sure. doing the same thing. So once word starts to spread, nigga, if a motherfucker told you that Drake was on IG Live right now
with new shit,
we would pull these up while we're recording or just press pause and wait till we got through.
Now,
so it would be big.
Of course, no, it would be a huge deal.
So once it started like Beyonce or somebody like that did, that shit would go like wildfire.
I think somebody need to do like Chris Brown or like a Beyonce or something, like doing like they. Rehearsal, like they dance rehearsal or something. Like yeah, like a dance, some type
if
of
I was
dance
a comedian,
off.
I'd be on there telling jokes.
That's what
I'd
be. That's what needs to pop
a nigga
off.
Up, boy.
That's what needs to pop
oh
off. Stand
God,
up, niggas need to be doing stand up.
I'd be adding niggas in, joking
tough,
on them,
tough,
oh,
flaming
boy.
Niggas.
I can't believe Lil Duval ain't done that.
Yeah, that would be clutch.
Yeah.
I have seen some Q&As though. I seen Elliot talking to Benny. He did like an interview with Benny on IG Live. Mm-hmm. Like, that was cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for stuff like that. But it'd have to be a moment, man. It'd have to be, this would be a perfect time for the Ludacris and T.I. where they ain't got to be in the same room. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't
would
be as tense.
I would.
You know what I'm saying? It'd be relaxed. It'd be like, oh, what's good, bro? You know what I'm saying? Boom, boom, boom. Like, it would seem genuine and not so forced to where they got to pull up and go to the studio and they got to dap niggas up. And you know what I'm saying? Like, then you might have niggas with him that still ain't over this shit. You know what I mean? Like, this the safe play for a Luda T.I.
Cool.
Expeditiously episode on IG.
That would be cool.
That would be hard.
Yeah, I would go with that. I would definitely go with that. There's a lot of possibilities out here for great content during this time, man.
Yeah.
A lot.
I also like the Netflix joints I've been seeing too. People watching Netflix on live and like you be able to comment and shit. Hey, you know, like the Netflix watch parties and shit. That's hard.
That is hard.
Like all that, the TV watch parties and shit, that's cold. Like
Bill
motherfuckers
Simmons
is thinking
son,
outside the box.
Bill Simmons, his son, were playing Madden on his IG live. And
oh,
people were commenting on that. That was pretty cool too.
No, nobody want to see me on Madden, by the way. I'm in my bag right now.
Get out of here.
Animal
I
underscore
am
Brown.
Game attack.
Nobody cares.
Come see me.
Animal underscore Brown. PS4, let's go. And let us know, what would y'all see? What's on y'all quarantine wish list?
Yeah, what y'all want to see, man? Podcasts really don't translate over because you can really just get those anytime. You just pull that up on YouTube.
Well, yeah,
live,
I mean, but
a
your
live
boy.
Podcast really just ain't going to hit.
Who is your boy and them?
Who?
The brothers.
Jeff and Eric.
They doing
the
daily
real,
shit.
Yeah, the daily quarantine radio.
And they calling though.
That's hard. Calling in, that's killer.
Yeah.
And doing that, so yeah.
And y'all let us know what y'all would look for. Hey, don't go nowhere.
You
we got FIFO.
Kanye?
Like what, Sunday service?
He would ruin his career.
What is he on right
live.
Now?
I'm just saying you wouldn't want to see anything live from him right now. Just like
you're making a beat.
A Q&A with Kanye would be amazing right now.
Nah,
I'd love.
I'll just answer
I would
fans'
love
questions.
Love
yeah, yeah, that'd be hard
for that nigga to pull up an IG and just answer people's questions.
Hard.
Oh my God.
Nah, he can make a beat though. That's it.
I don't want to see that.
Travis Scott was making beats. Tyler the Creator was making beats. Tyler the Creator set up.
I don't want to see that.
Now, Tyler Crater was making beats, but he was in like a...
Some nigga hung up on him because he asked him about what he was wearing. A$AP Rocky. He asked A$AP Rocky
that's
what funny. He was wearing. He hung up on him.
That's funny. That's funny as fuck. Now, Tyler the Creator had to set up in like the... I don't know where he was. He had like the full wall-to-wall windows with like snow-covered mountains in the back. Nigga, like he was in the Swiss Alps, nigga. I'm like, damn, where the fuck is he
definitely
at?
Definitely in Wyoming.
That shit
that
look
was
nuts.
Wyoming had
that shit look nuts, though. Shout out to Tyler the Creator.
Yeah.
Man, y'all don't go nowhere. We got our boy FIFO.
Yeah, man, from Dead End Sports. Much, very entertaining interview, man.
Absolutely.
We appreciate him stopping by.
Check it out, man.
What's going on, good people of On Deck TV, Hip Hop Land? It's your boy Big Jeff from the Full Sport Press Podcast, featuring myself, J-Hove, and Weezy each and every Monday. Once you finish this action-packed episode of the On Deck TV Hip Hop Podcast, make sure you check out FSP. Don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Hey, man, we are back. See On Deck TV Podcast. It's your man, Animal Brown.
I am Spike Lou.
All right, I told you guys we had a special guest in the building. One that needs no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway. We got our guy from Is the Mic Still On podcast, executive producer of Black Korea, Dead End Sports, and of course, Dead End Hip Hop. FIFO is in the building. What's good, sir?
What do you do? What do you do? You missed a couple, though.
Oh, shit. Nah, what I missed? What you got?
Executive producer of the All Over It podcast and the executive producer of the Now Listing podcast.
Got to get them EP credits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, man. I'm trying to be the Diddy of podcasts, man.
Let's do it.
Wearing a lot of hats, man. How tough is it juggling those responsibilities?
You know, like, I hustle, man. I grind, you know, because I love what I do. So even though it's work, it don't feel like work. So. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is. You know, all I want to do is just trying to expand the Dead End brand and expand my brand behind it, too. And just learn real life skills behind it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, things go left. We never know, right? Like, we can't predict stuff. I got skills that I took away from, you know what I'm saying, trying to grow certain things. Video editing, podcast editing, stuff like that, that, you know, I can build and do other things with that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Nice. Where are you originally from?
Born in Chicago.
Okay.
Raised in Miami. My parents are Cuban, so I'm 100% Cuban.
Okay.
Swag. Yeah.
I was going to say, you gave me a New York vibe. You get
a little bit. Yeah. Especially down here.
Yeah.
How was growing up in Miami?
Fucking amazing. Yeah,
clearly.
Amazing. Amazing. So,
know that.
So it's like, when I was in my early 20s, like, I was already chilled because I was going to 21 and over clubs at 15, 16, 17. You know what I'm saying? South Beach and everything.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, like, by the time I got to my 20s, I'm like, man, this ain't nothing, man.
I'm off that.
Yeah, you know, so.
Now, we spoke of Dead End and we had Ken on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
How did that get started and did that get you in the podcast?
Man, so like, the podcast was way later, but I'll start, like, from the beginning. So, the way I met Ken, I met Rod, I met Mike, we all used to work together.
Right.
And B was real close with Rod, and B hooped. So that's kind of how I got introduced to B. So, like, on every Friday, we used to have this thing called Big Ballin' Friday. We all used to go to the court, you know what I'm saying, go out there and hoop. So that's kind of how we got together. But the way Dead End started was I got let go of the job. And, you know what I'm saying, I was in between jobs or whatever. And Ken and Rod came to me with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, they pitched it and everything. Remember where Fox Sports Grill was in Atlantic Station?
Yep,
that's where we went. And we sat down, and they pitched me the idea. And I was like, hell yeah. You know, hip-hop is soft. Everybody's, you know, super this, friendly that, and the third. And I'm like, hip-hop's not supposed to be that way, and nobody's really speaking their mind.
Mm.
And I said, the only way I'm doing it, if it's no politics, no BS.
Nice.
So, like, from that first meeting, our whole motto of what we stood by, our integrity, was put on the spot right then and there.
Nice. I was just about to say, when they first hit you with the idea, you were on board from day. You're like, nigga, let's run it.
Like this. Yeah, because obviously I already had a relationship with them. So I already knew the type of conversations we had. And I knew that on YouTube, obviously YouTube was still early.
Yeah.
Just the way you consume content even back then was different, but nobody was doing what we were doing. When you read Complex, when you read XXL, everybody was just bigging up everything. I'm like, bro, this shit is whack
as trash.
Fuck.
Yeah. Somebody got to call it.
Somebody got to say something, you know? Yeah. So I was like, hell yeah, if that's going to be me, I'm with it. Let's go.
Yeah.
It was a way to get your voice out there. Like, be the bad guy. You want to be the bad guy.
It didn't matter to me.
What'd you grow up listening to?
Man, so growing up in a Cuban household, I grew up listening to like a lot of Spanish music. So like India, I couldn't even name all of the artists that my mom put me on to. But like once I started getting a little bit older, well, my mom introduced me to hip hop. The first hip hop artist I listened to was Salt-N-Pepa.
Oh, word.
That was like the first, okay. You know what I'm saying?
Sound about right, about age.
Yeah.
You know, so that, and then I was real big in the heavy D. Okay. And then I kind of like took a little hiatus just because I couldn't control what I listened to. You know, so my parents was real big in R&B, Spanish music, stuff like that. But the first CD I bought for myself was Puff Daddy, No Way Out.
Ooh, okay. Yep,
so
okay.
I was like 6th, 7th grade, 8th grade. So that was the first CD I bought, and that shit just blew me away.
Yeah.
Like, it just changed me. Like, I even went to my mom, like, hey, y'all cussing in this music, so, you know.
You cool with this, right?
You cool?
Like, I'm running this, right?
And then she kind of looked at me, and she was like, yeah, you about almost a teenager.
You got it.
You know, I'm good with it.
Were you in Atlanta at that time?
No, I was in Miami.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you move to Atlanta?
I moved to Atlanta, like 12 years ago now.
Okay. What prompted that? Your mommy asked.
Yeah, no problem. Man, you know, Chirac got a got that reputation for a reason. And I'm the oldest of three brothers. Mm-hmm. And my youngest brother, he went out to a park just chilling with his homies. It was like a group of six or seven. And you know how they say, you know, you in a group, you're more protected, this, that, and the third. But yeah. Chicago, man, the rules is different.
Right.
And after they played in the park and stuff like that, you know, basketball, whatever, they was on their way home and they got robbed at gunpoint for all their bikes. Mm. Wow. And at that point, man, like when my brother got home, you know, I started researching, like, where can we move? You know, and I came across Marietta, Georgia. And, you know, I started sending listings to my people. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, look, this is for rent, this is for rent, this is for rent. And I kind of wanted to, but, you know, I still felt like I was reestablishing myself because we left Chicago, we went back, and then now we, you know what I'm saying, came back. But I was just, you know, researching and everything, and they moved quick. And I was, oh, I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it was the best move ever. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to buck it a little bit, but, you know, so it worked out.
Did Atlanta push you into the creative space of, like, podcasting, wanting to be the Diddy of podcasts and doing the different stuff content-wise, or were you on that in Miami and Chicago as well?
Nah, you know, I feel like I just always had a personality.
Right.
And I always knew that I wanted to do something, but I didn't know how to create it myself. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I got to give a big shout out to Modest Media, to Ken, because they allowed me to creatively express myself. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So if it wasn't for them, like, you probably wouldn't know who I was, at least not at the level that we've gotten to. You know, so I've always had it in me. I just was never able to create it.
I agree with you. I'm in the same boat. I think it's come to a point where you're not a rapper, but it is a creative aspect that comes 100%. Into podcasting and doing what you're doing, being able to express yourself. So I definitely feel what you're saying there.
So you went from Chicago to Atlanta.
So, all right. So let me give you the whole story because it's a lot of movies.
Okay.
So I was born in Chicago.
Gotcha.
Right? Dad was a drug dealer, you know what I'm saying, lived that type of life. And, you know, he burnt his connect. He ran from the plug. So we moved to Miami.
Okay.
And while we were in Miami.
Huh? To find a better plug.
No, not even.
I'm just fucking with you.
Get away from everything. But, you know, like I always credit Jay-Z on American Gangsta. I want to say it's Fallen. He has a lyric where he says it's two sides of substance abuse. You know what I'm saying? You got people that use it, but you got people that's addicted to the hustling.
Yeah.
My dad was addicted to the hustling. So, you know, he promised my mom and everything that, you know, I'm gonna let it go, you know, because we had a great life in Chicago. We went to Miami, and she already knew his hiding spot, so she found him, you know, doing the same shit. She's like, come on, man. Like, we left everything to come here to do it
to
on a smaller scale.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so... They separated, and then my mom got mixed up in some stuff, and to for her to get straight, for us to be straight, we moved to Macon, Georgia. And then I was there for like maybe like a year, and then that, you know, that's a culture shock, bro.
That's
Chicago,
a big change
Miami,
from Miami to Macon.
Macon
slowed it all the way down.
Woo-hoo! All the way. So you know, I moved back by myself, you know. And this
to Miami?
To Miami.
Okay.
And then this was the first time, you know, I was living on my own. Pops gave me his Benz to drive in. I had my own apartment, like at 18, 19.
Just turning up.
Lit.
Bro, I was like, fuck rent. You know what I'm saying? So it was just crazy. It was a crazy life. But then, you know, like, life started hitting me. Like, hey, bro, like, you about to get kicked out. This, that, and the third. My dad looking at me like, I'm crazy as hell. So, you know, I moved back to with my mom's because I wasn't ready for that life. It came too quick.
You got to be ready for Miami. Like,
oh,
Miami
is
a different
yeah,
world.
Mentally ready. Yeah.
As an adult.
Yeah. Like,
as
Miami,
an adult,
different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different.
Even
a different
going down there on vacation, you got to prepare yourself 100%. For, like, ice, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So then after that, I moved back to Macon with my peoples. By that time, my mom was straight, and she was like, hell no, we got to get up out of here. So that's when we moved back to Chicago.
Okay.
Then we was there a couple years, and then that incident with my youngest brother happened, and then we was like, F that, you know what I'm saying? So we moved here.
Okay. Now, what was the Chicago rap scene like when you were there that last time? Are you paying attention close to it like that, or are you all the way in?
Well, I was primarily listening to the radio, and then there was guys that I was listening to. So that's kind of like when G-Unit blew up.
Okay.
So I was heavy on G-Unit. Chicago,
who was your favorite member?
Lloyd Banks. Lloyd Banks, I felt Hunger for More was the best, like, individual outside of 50. We, you know,
yeah,
so I'm
right.
Other guys, yeah, it was Lloyd Banks. And then Young Buck, was, come on, man,
that was
come on, let's do this.
We'll count
that,
right?
Exactly. But now I was listening to the radio, so that's when Twista was re-blowing up, you know, because of Kanye.
Overnight Celebrity,
exactly. Overnight Celebrity, everything that he was doing with that. So Kanye, you know, like I wasn't really, my ear wasn't necessarily to the streets of Chicago. I was listening to everything that was happening. Hmm. So that's kind of when I got put on the Jeezy. And I can't remember the group that he came out with.
CTE.
No. With Bad Boy. Him and Jody Breeze.
Oh,
and
Boys in the Hood. Yeah.
So Boys in the Hood started popping off. And then Jeezy popped off. Ludacris started popping off. So it was like all of these other entities. So I wasn't like paying attention to Chicago.
Gotcha. Yeah. Was there any motivation at all moving to Atlanta for professional, or was it just like, we just need to get away from Chicago, period?
It was just, we need to get away from Chicago. Chicago too crazy. Yeah. It was just, you know, because think about it, man, like, you know, like, I'm very protective of my older, of my younger brothers, mm-hmm. and, you know, big time family guy, and for that to happen, and then, you know, for it to have gone, like, left, and you had no control over that.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know how I would have felt.
Not
you
a
know
situation
what I'm saying?
You want to
yeah,
put yourself
so,
in.
Like, we just needed a better situation. It wasn't that, you know, we wasn't eating or we didn't live good, but it's just that environment, man. Like, like you really can't escape that.
You don't want to get caught up in no retaliation type shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You can throw your whole joint away.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Yep. That makes a lot of sense. Now, when you did come to, you pick up hooping in Chicago? Or like, what was that? Where's your love
course,
for that coming?
Bro, I was born in 84, so you know what year that is.
Okay, Jordan.
You know what year that
it
is.
Makes
so
a
by,
lot
so,
of sense.
So by the time I was like 4 or 5, I could start, you know, watching TV, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It was MJ all day.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I, like, the love of basketball came from Michael Jordan. But the refinement of my game came from Allen Iverson.
Okay.
That was the first person that, you know, I really started to pattern my game. So I had a couple of Jordan moves. I was like, you know, tongue out, hang time, reverse, stuff
leg
like that.
Spread, yeah.
Yeah, but then, you know, you notice that, like, damn, bro, I'm kind of short. You know, you know, so let me look at some other short dudes, you know what I'm saying, that I can, you know, kind of mimic or whatever. So AI was the first person. So, like, my step back, my snatch back, I got all that from him. And then as I got older and started growing, getting into high school and stuff like that, you know, Tim Hardaway, with somebody I definitely watched. Damon Stoudemire
for sure
was another person. You know what I'm saying? So I just started watching a lot of different point guards and stuff like that and started modeling my game.
Hold on, Z. So you play, what, did you play in high school? Or
mm-hmm.
Played high school.
Because remember how I moved all of these times. Like, I moved in my junior going to senior year to Macon.
Mm-hmm.
So that messed a lot of stuff up. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
No doubt. Now, was there anything leading up to you linking up with the Dead and Hip Hop guys that was pushing you in the direction of media and things of that nature? Or was that the first time I introduced you to it?
First time. Yeah, but you know, like, I feel like I always have, like, a creative mind. I've always had an overview mindset. So when somebody talks, I see the pictures in my head. You know what I'm saying? I can see what's gonna happen. So when they were pitching me the idea, like, I already knew it and I knew how I was gonna fit in because, you know, I'm a little boisterous, I'm a little loud, you know what I'm saying? I speak my mind, I don't hold back. So I knew how that was gonna play with whoever wanted to watch. You know what I'm saying? I knew it was gonna be a hit.
I was just about to say, what do you bring? What role do you feel that you bring to Dead End?
I used to be the young guy. I'm getting old now, though. You know what I'm saying? So
it's other young guys coming in.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. That's why we got the interns and stuff like that. That's why we got to diversify the demographic and the age group, you know, that we appeal to. But for me, originally, it was the loud guy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It was the guy that just the loud guy. The
opinionated.
Loud guy.
Outspoken.
Exactly.
The Cuban guy.
The Cuban guy. You know what I'm saying?
And now I only say that because you said that we were on the mic still on. So you said Cuban's unknown
shirt.
For being. Yeah,
yeah.
You told. That's what I was referencing, the shirt that you were talking
100%.
About. Now, they approached you, Rod and Ken, to do Dead End, and it was starting with hip-hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have all these other things that you do now as far as the real estate and you're into the. Do you find it hard to still keep up with hip hop and have the same passion?
Nah.
It's still there for you?
Nah, man, because it's kind of like basketball. You know what I'm saying? I can't play at the same level. You know what I'm saying? But I still go out there and do my best.
Right.
I still watch. I will still coach. You know what I'm saying? I miss coaching. You know, so once you have a passion for something, it never dies. As long as you're alive and you breathing, that's still a part of you. It just may evolve and change. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I ain't going to go out there and bust no, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old ass no more.
Right.
Yeah.
But I still love the game on all levels.
So what do you appreciate more about hip-hop now being older?
Man, the stories. You know, like I always said, like, on a lot of our reviews, like, for me, it's about connecting with artists and being able to relate their message to what I'm doing. So I like, you know, the grown man hip hop, like the Royce.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That album's amazing.
You know, the Allegory is amazing.
It's just stupid. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said in that review, I learned something. You know what I'm saying? So to be able to learn from hip hop, that's kind of where I am. Now, I still like the turn up shit. I like the bump and the whip shit.
For sure.
But at the end of the day, I'm older and I got to be able to like take something from this where now I can show, you know, my kids.
You can pass it down.
Yeah. Exactly. The same way I did with my little brothers. You know, like a lot of their peers and stuff, they don't know about Jay-Z's, what's the first album?
Reasonable Doubt.
You know, Horrible Names. like they don't know about Reasonable Doubt. They don't know about Nas. They don't know about this stuff. But they do because I put them on.
Because you put them on.
You know what I'm saying? So like for me, like I'm always gonna be that person. I'm always gonna be that homie that's like, yo, you should listen to this.
You gotta go check this out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And this that speaks to where hip hop is right now with those with the contemporary rap right now, like it's grown man shit that you can listen to where they dropping gems and putting you up on game. I don't know if that necessarily. I don't know who that was in '95 because I don't know if that existed like that to the extent of 444s and you learning shit and Googling shit. That Royce make you Google some shit.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that existed or if it was that deep in 95. Somebody would have to put me up on that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now it's an abundance. It's something for everybody now.
No, 100%.
True. Who do you point people towards the most now? When you say you want to be the one to put people on, hey, you should check this out because I know you. Who do you find yourself talking about the most?
Man, it depends on the person I'm talking to.
Okay.
Right? So like for me, like it's not one size fits all.
Right.
So it depends on where you are that I will, you know what I'm saying, like advise you to go listen to this person or not. You know, so but like my personal favorites, like obviously I put people always on the Big Crit. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's the preeminent Southern lyricist right now in the game.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, even though I ain't like the last album, but it is what it is.
Really? It's hard though when you're first
mad at that.
See, his first project is his best project though. This is like that's the biggest complaint.
Yeah,
Crit, that's the best project.
Crit Was Here is one of his best, but like Forever and a Day.
He got some heat though.
Those are good, but it's hard to like maintain. Like he came out.
No, he did.
It was bang! Boom, 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 boom. Wow. Crit, who else?
Crit, obviously Nipsey. You know what I'm saying? I'm huge on Nipsey. Who else?
How you feel about Griselda?
Of course, Griselda. But see, but that's specific though.
True. It depends. You gotta on like that type of stuff. Yeah, that is facts.
But it's got a niche.
It is. But them motherfuckers.
I was telling my homeboy about him. He's a little older. He was like, "Man, them niggas is lying, bro. Ain't no way niggas was selling out their drugs." I was like, "Bro, but like you said, it depends on who you talking to, exactly. Who you recommend it to."
So you just name artists from three different regions. So you pretty much do you skew to a specific, like you prefer like a Southern type, or are you all over?
You know, before. I was definitely more a Southern artist that I liked, but now that I do that in hip hop, bro, like it's opened up my ear to a lot of different stuff. So it don't matter now. Like dope is dope. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Who's the audience for Dead End Hip Hop versus Is the Mic Still On?
That's a damn good question. The Dead End Hip Hop audience is really for hip hop heads. I'm not even going front. We try to, you know, do a couple of commercial artists here and there.
We're trying to do Baby review.
Little Baby we did. Yo Gotti this year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do Lil Uzi. So, you know, like
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Well,
I like Uzi, though.
I'm not going to be there on that one.
I got to work. Sitting that one out.
I'm with you.
But, you know, so like for me, I think that in hip hop is more hip hop heads. I think Is the Mic Still On, and the reason why we created that was it allows us to color outside the lines that we created for Dead End Hip Hop. You know, because obviously, like we all have a personal relationship on just with the Dead End crew. So it was kind of like we talk about so much stuff outside of hip hop that nobody got to hear. So we was like, well, shit, like, you know, we're already big. Let's go ahead and just create another platform. But the crazy thing about that platform is that the people that listen to Is the Mic Still On aren't Dead End Hip Hop listeners.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, like, it's so crazy, like, with all of the brands that we've been able to create and grow, they're all unique.
Yeah.
Like, they don't necessarily spill over, which is.
And they stand alone.
That's amazing. And they stand alone. So.
In my opinion, just on the Is the Mic Still On, it's like you guys invite not just people from Dead End Hip Hop or from everybody that knows you guys into a conversation with you because you do the feedback and the different segments. And I know when I was on there with you guys, it was just fun. It was like a kickback. Like you kick it back with the fans, like you're giving each other shit. Y'all are giving each other shit on the show. So it was a real like laid back type of come join us for the conversation type of thing. And that's a dope, it's a unique aspect to have.
I got to pull up on y'all for that.
It's real. It was probably my funnest most fun I've had on one of them podcasts.
And that's always the feedback that we mm-hmm. get from people that we have on. Like, they're like, oh shit, I didn't expect that.
It was like 3 hours long, but it was all 3 hours you locked in because you're just having fun. You're talking, you're kicking your shit.
Nice, nice. Now, I on your Twitter feed, I see you chiming in on a couple of topics that are going on kind of hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Megan Thee Stallion situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing, you've been retweeting some things. Whose side do you fall on? Is it the artist or the label?
I'm pro Meg. You know, I'm pro artist. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And here's the thing. Like, I understand that you have a responsibility to understand what's in them contracts when you sign.
Right.
I get that. Right. But in her situation, it's not like I'm trying to leave you. I don't want to deal business with y'all. Just let's renegotiate. Because I understand that from a label perspective, right, I got to front a lot of money to even get
build you up.
A point. Yeah. So I get that. And more often than not, you're not going to even be nothing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I get that. But if you are something, let's all eat. Let's stop trying to be stingy, because look at the Diddy situation with Mace.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you're not even going to let him buy back his publishing?
Yeah.
You know, so my thing is this, right? Like, I feel like hip hop and sports, they have a lot of commonalities. And you look at football. When somebody is outplaying their rookie contract, Russell Wilson.
Right.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you.
Thank
got,
you. I said the exact.
I have to disagree.
I said the exact. Oh, wow. To you. I said second round pick wasn't supposed to start. You know what I'm saying? Then they take you to the Super Bowl. It's time to sit back at the table. Shit. I swear to you. Thank you.
Are y'all done?
That's crazy.
No, I have to disagree with you guys. Okay. Because when you talk about outperforming the rookie contract, her contract is to put out albums. Now, mm-hmm. she hasn't put out albums. She's created a great persona. She's got to this place where she's met with Roc Nation. She's did a great job as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Her job isn't done yet. So as the guy from 1501 says, I'm applauding what you're doing. This was my expectation for you as a businessman when I signed on. Like, I wanted you to be big.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're telling me because you outperformed, some say, mm-hmm. you want to renegotiate the terms that we've agreed on, but you haven't delivered anything. All you've done is promo. We signed
That's
up to
it?
Do albums.
Come on,
we
man.
Signed look, up to look, do look, albums. Look. I don't have one album. And it's not, in my opinion, it's not about the money. It's about, shit, I've invested my time, and I'm Carl Crawford, the guy over 1501. Mm-hmm. I want to be in the music industry. This is something that I assume that he's passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's getting a raw deal just because he did what he was supposed to do as a middleman. I'm supposed to make you hot. I'm supposed to provide an environment for you to be Meg Thee Stallion, you did it.
But you know what?
Now
a raw
you want to renegotiate
with me? But see, now you got to fix some of them words, because you said a raw deal. A raw deal means, like, you know what? I ain't trying to do business with you no more. Yep.
That's what he's getting, though, because
what
now she's
mean?
With Roc Nation. She's like, well, I want to renegotiate.
That's just a management deal, though.
True.
That's not her.
Exactly.
That's not who she signed to. You just managing my affairs. You're booking my concerts. You're making sure stuff is right.
True.
The lawyers. Because think about it. In her music contract, she doesn't have representation.
True.
She has representation now through
Roc Nation.
Right. So that means that her business affairs are in order now, right? So all I'm saying is look, I'm not saying you can't eat and put food on the table. I'm just saying, let me get a slightly bigger piece, because I'm the one that got to go travel. Like, did you read some of the stipulations in that contract?
Yeah, it's
crazy.
So you mean to tell me that as the artist, I got to pay for my own travel and booking?
That's nuts.
Come on, man.
That's
Let's
nuts.
Renegotiate, listen, Spike.
Though, but listen,
yeah,
though,
nuts.
As an artist, you do have, I don't know if that's the standard or not, but I've seen that as an artist, that's happened before. So my point, if I'm Carl Crawford, I'm trying to make money. I'm a businessman at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I want to make money and I'm really invested in Meg and what she has going on, I still want the final product, and that's an album. All of this stuff is extra. She hasn't outperformed anything yet to what you guys are saying, because she hasn't put out an album.
But let me ask you,
she's created a great persona.
But let me ask you this, though. If she says, I'm not creating no more music,
mm-hmm.
what does that do
then
for you?
Then how much you making off that?
Exactly. Or you want to be asshole petty, and you tell me you shelving me. How much money you making?
Now, that's a different conversation, because I agree with you guys there. Carl Crawford, if he wants to be in the music business, should have a little more lean to what he's doing right now. It should be like, okay, I get what you're saying. Let's renegotiate. But technically, in my opinion, he got
all the leverage in the world to be like, fuck it. I have money. Actually, I don't have to put you out. I can shelve you and I never have to
do this.
She's
a star now.
Come on, man. Look,
that's
look,
fine.
She's a star.
No, come on. Look, look. We talked about sports and hip hop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leagues are built on stars, players. Not ownership, bro.
Facts. That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Ain't nobody buying the tickets because Jerry Jones.
This is the only
the
point in time that he's got. But Jerry Jones has a $5 billion franchise.
We understand that. We
he
understand
built that by doing business the way that Carl Crawford is operating.
But here's the thing, though. The franchise is going to way outlast the artists.
True.
So you have to maximize the artists while you have them in their prime.
And this ain't the Cowboys
either.
And
I think that's, and my, and to you guys' point, I think that's what Carl Crawford is looking at. I have to build out 1501. It's not only about Megan Thee Stallion, you know. I got people
and he
to come
already
in.
Good?
He good. Oh, he signed a $123 million baseball contract.
So what,
he
so
good
he,
about the money.
Why is he super tight with this look?
I think, in my opinion, just from what I've seen and read from him, he's super tight because the image being put out there is that he's trying to get over on her. And what he's saying is, I had people draw up these contracts
the image,
based
though.
Off.
I don't think that's the image.
The industry standard.
But I don't think that's the image, though. I think the image is that Meg has outperformed. Meg is hotter. Come on, man. Like nobody thought Meg would be where she's at right now.
I did.
Except Carl Crawford.
You think
I,
so?
I
guess
swear.
When he signed it. Like, I think when you sign a business deal, like, of course, you don't expect it, but your hope is
of
this
course.
Is going to blow
if
up.
If you maximize your potential.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
Right.
You can, but how many people in sports or hip hop
do that?
Realize their full potential?
Below 25%.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. So you hope that. But you never really truly
expect
it.
Right.
But now that it's happened, even though we didn't expect it, I have to renegotiate with you
he
as
a
the
meal
boss?
Ticket, bro.
Why
we
is that
it.
Possible?
Because everybody wins.
True. True. And like I said, we're talking in one sense if he wants to win or if he wants to continue in this business.
But you know what? But look.
Can you imagine how many albums she probably signed for? I'm scared to even
They said it was four.
Really?
They said it was four.
I'm surprised at that.
They said it was four albums.
Look, somebody I mentioned earlier, right, Nipsey, mm-hmm. right, super businessman. Do you think that if something like this happened, especially with his people, that it wouldn't be worked out? It would be worked out because it's all about money. It's all about business. And the better business and the better perception is that, you know what, let's move
let's
some of these numbers
out.
Around. Yeah. Right, you're gonna be happy. I'm definitely gonna be happy because it's not like you're not gonna make money off of Meg, bro.
True. So let's look at it from a perspective like this, right? So if Carl Crawford is as detached from this as he says he is, like, I just run a music company. I want it to be successful in music. I agree with what you're saying about Nipsey's point, but that's a male artist. So if we take it a step further, it takes a lot more financially for a female to be successful, even on the road with security, the look. All of these, like,
of course,
all
she,
of these things
she
going
got more
to
maintenance.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the month, when he's getting his invoices and they're telling him it's going to be worth it, Carl, just I promise you she's going to be a star. He's like, okay, cool. I may not have spent this much in the beginning or with this guy or with these people on my life, but y'all telling me she's going to be good. I'm signing off on it. Now it's come to fruition what these people are telling him, and she's saying, thank you for everything you did to get me in this position, but now I want to talk about getting some more money from you. Couldn't y'all see where he would be offended by that?
No, because here's the thing. Like I think in business, good negotiation is when both parties are not happy about
yep.
it.
Facts.
Right?
That is
yep.
a fact.
So I think
you gotta feel like you left a little something on the table.
100%. And I think that there is room for negotiation. I'm not saying give Meg the house. I'm saying give her a little something.
Right.
So a little something to me is if she signed for four albums, let me sign you for two.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Let's shorten it up so that way we can renegotiate for real.
Yeah.
You know, instead of you paying for all of your booking and stuff, I'll pay for that. Instead of owning 30% of your publishing, I own 20% of your publishing.
Right.
But I think his thing is why we have to talk about that now.
Because she's huge.
Yeah.
And because she's huge.
And if she continues to do that and drops an album, then there should be no problem with us talking about it in 2 months.
Okay, no, but
that's just how he's looking at it.
No, no. How long does it take hip hop artists to drop albums?
A year, probably, at least.
Not really.
Are you talking about now?
Well, yeah, you look at artists that drop albums. Typically, it's like a year and a half, two.
Between them, yeah.
So
like
you're talking a decade?
Studio albums.
You're talking. Come on,
albums.
Bro.
Yeah.
Listen, I have no problem renegotiating the deal. My problem is with the timing of it. Like, if I'm Carl Crawford and I'm the CEO of 1501 and I put in all of this work,
and I signed you and I started this because I thought that you were going to be a star. Mm-hmm. Now that you have lived up to the expectation of what we all are here for, we signed this contract for me to make you this big. Mm-hmm. Now you remember Roc Nation and they're telling you, ah, well, it's not right and it's not right and this is not right. Okay, cool. Those things may not be right. Ride it out with me like I rode it out with you until we get this first album done. Then I'm happy to talk to you about.
He hasn't said that though.
I know, I ain't saying that he said that, but this is perspective that I get.
Okay.
Like in his Billboard interview, the perspective that I'm getting from it is like, I'm not trying to fuck anybody
but
here.
But is that not a renegotiation?
I'm not ready to talk yet.
But is that not a renegotiation?
He has the leverage right though. He has the leverage because I got the contract.
I don't have
to renegotiate.
But if I don't put out the music, look, Megan Thee Stallion is still in college. She's going to get her collegiate degree. And maybe she may not see the type of money that hip hop will get her.
But she'll be all right.
She's going to be good. That's
she's
fact.
Like, you know what? I don't got to do the music. Who loses?
Yeah.
Us. You don't have the leverage? No.
Bro, we didn't listen.
Crawford loses.
Bro, we didn't give a shit about who Carl Crawford was 2 weeks ago, bro. Nobody did. Nobody knew his name. But now my girl knows him and shit, all of that bullshit.
Those are valid points, but that doesn't sign Carl. I mean, that ain't paying his mortgages money. He got,
he'll be fine, like we said,
$130 million deal. So he's not trying to be known either. So if Meg never makes another album, he's still going to ride off with his $68 million net worth.
And I understand that. All I'm saying is that if you're trying to run a music company, right, mm-hmm. and your biggest artist says, I'm not putting out no more music, your music company suffers.
Of course.
Yeah. You personally, you good, bro. Like, you do something
to make your money.
You good. It don't matter about you. We're talking about the perception of the music company versus the artist.
Because nobody else is signing with it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, bro. So
those are facts. Y'all are right about that.
It's just like Milwaukee with Giannis. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell want to live in Milwaukee, number one? And what the hell has Milwaukee really done?
Yeah.
Right? What free agent wants to sign there?
Yeah.
You have to make it an attractive place to bring other top talent to your organization. And right now, that doesn't look good.
That's it.
Mm.
The perception of 1501 is not good.
That is true.
If you gave a little bone, you know what? Four albums or two albums, 20% publishing. We cover all of your first expenses, and then let's renegotiate on after the second album. I still want you to be here. I don't want the perception to make it seem like other artists that, you know, whatever you sign,
it's
that's it.
Over
I'm
right.
Suge Knight out there.
Come on, that is a fact. Y'all right about that. If he wants to continue on in the music business, he should budge. There should be a buzz.
A little. Yeah, at least
have the conversation like
have
she's asking for.
But
this is all speculation here. I think that he's under the impression that how did I get to a point where she's going on Instagram telling people that I'm fucking her or robbing? Well, excuse me, not relatively.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But
right.
How that I'm robbing her and I haven't even had the opportunity to recoup what I thought that I was going to get from this. And she's talking 100%. About talking again. But I do agree with you guys 100%. If he wants to continue and sign other artists, he needs to make this right. Like now.
That's it.
And that's a fact.
And I think it will.
But he doesn't have to.
No, he don't. He doesn't have to.
Gotcha. He's, and I don't think he's a bad person if he's like, I'm standing on my laurels and
I ain't talking to you.
It wouldn't be smart.
Exactly.
Y'all are right about that. I ain't talking about the intelligence fact of it, but just if he's speaking from a morality point.
Yeah.
I see that.
Now, another thing I noticed scrolling through the timeline was your top 10 albums of the decade picks. You had 4 Kendrick Lamar projects in your top 10.
Kendrick coming, nigga.
How, Sway?
So, all right.
Best rapper of the decade.
So we did 2 decade tops.
Right, okay, yeah, okay. For sure.
So you're talking about the one that we selected per year.
Yes.
So that one was a little bit different because I took the perspective of kind of what was the best and what was I listening to the most, you know what I'm saying, in that particular year. But if I just look at the decade as a whole, my list was completely
different.
So on the list, and that was for patrons only, so if you're not a patron, go
subscribe.
Ahead and subscribe, you know what I'm saying, a dollar gets you a lot with Denny Hip Hop. Like on that list, like I had 2 Nipsey projects, like Victory Lap was number 3 and Crenshaw was number 1, and I put mine in order. Kendrick had an album, Crit had 2 albums on there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So
the list was completely different. But you know, shit, come on, man. Kendrick didn't kill the
decade. Is Kendrick your type? Of course. He's a hater.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I fuck with Kendrick.
Nah, he's a
Kendrick. I just don't like To Pimp a Butterfly.
He sides with Aubrey.
I don't like that.
Yeah,
so
it didn't
resonate with me. That's all.
No, I feel because
that was my album of the decade.
Was it
To Pimp a Butterfly?
It's too jazzy for me. I'm not a jazz person.
Yeah, and that's why I say I feel it. Like I understood it because for me it didn't have high replay value. Like from like just a personal enjoyment. Oh, let me, I gotta hear King mm-hmm. Kunta. I gotta hear yes. this. But it was an amazing project, conceptual project. I think it's probably one of the best conceptual projects I've heard.
In 2015, I would have took Dark Side Paradise over that. And King Push.
No. Come on, man.
And King
Push. He's a Kanye stan.
And King Push.
He's a Kanye and a Drake stan. This is what I have to deal with. So if we're talking about that top tier, since we are here, mm-hmm. where do you put those guys? The Drake, the Kendrick, the...
Cole.
J. Cole.
So I think Drake, Kendrick, and Cole are the biggest hip-hop artists of this era, of this generation.
And before you get into that, do you guys mm-hmm. try to stray away from hot mainstream like Drake or
no,
guys like
we've
that?
We've done every Drake project. Okay. We've reviewed every Drake project. We don't, you know what I'm saying, we've done pretty much every Cole project. Obviously, we've done every Kendrick project. Right. So, no, we don't stray away from that. I think that, like, Drake is the guy that is just the most commercially successful. That is what it is. Yeah. You know, and he's kind of like LL Cool J in a sense that he caters a lot of his music to women. And because of that, you know, he's had that crossover appeal. You know, he a light-skinned brother. You know how the females like the light-skinned brothers. And just his subject matter. You know what I'm saying? He makes stuff that the hardest dude can listen to, like 0 to 100. Yeah. And the hardest dude was listening to that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he got that, the joint that popped off last year or the year before.
In My Feelings?
Yeah, that Kiki, shit. You know what I'm saying? Come on, yeah, Kiki.
Yeah, it's
come
high.
On, man. You
it's
know
undeniable.
Yeah. It's undeniable.
Yeah.
When you look at J. Cole, man, you're talking about, I think he's the complete opposite of Drake because he gets no radio play and still goes platinum.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have no fucking FaceTime in front of the camera. You know what I'm saying? He barely, how many interviews does he do?
Yeah, it's rare. It's rare air when he do that.
You know what I'm saying? But this man puts up Drake-like numbers.
Yeah.
Drake-like. I didn't say Drake numbers. Drake-like. For somebody that doesn't get the publicity and the attention.
True.
God. Yeah, damn. Yeah, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And it's organic, too.
And he don't spend, the, like you said, organic.
Yeah, it's right organic. Out of
my mouth. You know? And then I think Kendrick is in the middle of those two guys.
I think from a skill standpoint, he's way better.
No, 100%. I'm talking more so perception.
Okay.
Not ability or skill.
Gotcha.
Perception of those three guys. Drake is a super commercial. J. Cole's the underground. Yeah. And Kendrick has the
a little bit of both.
He has a little bit of both. Because he is respected from the underground because of his spitting ability. And then he does get the FaceTime. Even though I feel like he shies away from it. He doesn't.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't necessarily 100% embrace it, but he embraces it way more than Cole does.
To me, that's what puts him at the top of the artist. Because mm-hmm. I can step into Cole world, I can step into Drake world, and I can kill you both.
Both, yeah.
Like, however y'all want to do it, we can do it, and I'm going to walk out on top. And I feel like that's how he carries himself, and mm-hmm. that's why I put him one.
And I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
I do, too. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. Like, I put him one. He is one.
Yeah.
In terms of those three, he's definitely number one.
You got your Drake fan.
Killing me, Smalls.
What do you have to say, Drake?
Nah, I mean, man, you know why I lie, man. It's just six guys.
What do you think Kanye's one?
That's my guy, too, though. He hasn't missed. I'm still waiting on him to miss.
Yeah. That's sick, ain't it?
Still waiting.
He's
y'all wake me when Kanye misses.
Every one of his albums is good to him.
Y'all wait. Y'all let me know.
What please ask the questions. Please.
Jesus King?
Yeah, that joint.
I mean, well, that's... Yeah. Are we really counting that?
So you're an apologist now.
We didn't count Tony Yayo as a genuine
Kanye.
Album. So why
he's a heavy Kanye apologist.
We didn't count Tony Yayo. Why are we counting the gospel Kanye album? Come on.
Man, he almost counted that.
Come on now. Everybody's right, this is what you really deal with, huh?
Yeah, man. Fam almost brought a Make America Great Again hat.
Relax.
I'm telling you, fam.
And you would have had to quit the
show.
Don't fall for that.
I got to blur him out. Damn. He's all in, man.
Man, let me ask you, where do you see hip-hop media going in the future around the corner? What do you see? Anything in particular? We know Dead End gonna be popping, still
hopefully,
growing.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it's interesting. Me and Ken, we have this conversation a lot where, you know, we feel like we were one of the pioneers, and mm-hmm. there's people that now they started way after us and they've surpassed us in terms of popularity.
Oh,
or
please believe we've seen the same thing.
So you preach to the choir.
Yeah, so we don't necessarily understand that, but at the end of the day, we don't put out no hate or nothing like that. And, you know, it's all love. We want to see everybody grow. But in terms of Dead End, man, like, we just still going to keep pushing, man. We stay in our lane. We know all we try to do is continue to put out the best quality that we can. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's quality over quantity. And that's always been what we've been about. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why we don't put out a review in the next day. Obviously, we try to get quicker with some right. of the bigger ones, sure. obviously.
Because it's a business,
it's a business thing. Yeah. It's a business strategy. But for the most part, we try to sit with the albums because that's how hip hop is intended to be listened to. You know, like you know, even the Royce, I felt like, you know, we was a little quick with it. But albums like that, you Kendrick, you got to sit. You got to digest yeah. because that third or fourth listen may not be enough. You know, you got to sit a couple of days, and then when you listen to it again, damn. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
You know, and great hip-hop artists do that, you know. Facts. So for us, man, the future, I don't know. I just know that we're still going to be here. I know that we're still going to be producing more content. I know that we're still going to be diversifying what the hell we're doing.
I ask this a lot, man. Do you have an end game for Dead End? In your opinion.
End game is where I feel like we're still employees of Dead End Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. You know, and even though we run Dead End Hip Hop, we still do a lot of the...
On the ground.
Yeah, we do a lot of the grind. We do a lot of the on the ground. Like, we do a lot. And I think that for us, you know, the kind of the end game is just to be the puppet master behind it. You know what I'm saying? Nah, this is not good. Fix that. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask me no questions. You just fix it. You know?
Just go in there and do what I say. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's kind of where we want to get to. But I think like the more immediate goal is to get rid of the 9-to-5s, man.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
So we can completely put our focus into this stuff, you know, because at the end of the day, like, there's certain things that we don't have because our hats are content creators. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. So there's a lot of other things, a lot of other factors that we need to take more into account, but that's not necessarily our strong suit. So, you know, right. we need to be able to take a step back on other things to make sure that those things get ran right.
Yeah. No doubt. Same
issues that we have. Exactly.
Where can they find you on social, bro?
FIFO 24/7, everything. IG, Twitter.
All that. FIFO 24/7.
Yep.
Hey, man, we appreciate you sliding.
Really good interview. We definitely appreciate your time,
appreciate
brother.
It.
Absolutely. Make sure y'all check out all the shows, man. It's The Mic Still On, Black Korea, Dead End Sports, Dead End Hip Hop. What's the website? Cover everything.
Man, don't even go to the... See, that's part of that stuff. We got to streamline.
Shit.
Yeah, so... All
right, to be determined later.
But yeah, just... if you... Man, look, just Google search Dead End Hip Hop. Google search myself. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You're going to find all that, bro.
Okay. There it is, man. We'll be keeping our eyes on what you guys got doing, man. Or got going on. Excuse me. Hey, don't go nowhere. We'll be right back, man. On Deck TV.
Chip.
Do us a huge favor if you rock with us like I know you do. Go to patreon.com/realville and support the real, man. You'll get super dope content, all right? Album reviews. We've got Boldy James coming up. We've got several dope reviews on the way. Make sure you keep it locked and subscribe. Hit the link in the description to support the real. We are back. See On Deck TV podcast. It's your man, Animal Brown.
I am Spike Lou.
Man, that was Young FIFO, voice of the young people.
Yes, sir. Appreciate him giving us that rundown and that history from Dead End. Man, we're going to get some more of the guys in there, man.
Yeah.
Mike, Rod, the last two we got to get left. I'm going to run that in.
Yeah, man. Shout out to FIFO, man. They doing big things over at Dead End Hip Hop. Please pay attention to that, man. Go check that out on YouTube.
And B. We got to get B not. Too.
Yep. Absolutely. The whole gang, goddammit. Yep. We got some wins and losses, man. What we got?
Wins and losses. W's to Khalees and her new cannabis cooking show drops on Netflix on 420. Are you watching this?
Yeah, I'll check it out. It's called Cooked with Cannabis. It's like a judging show. It's her and another co-host judging like professional chefs. They got to make 3-course meals out of cannabis.
I'm over the weed cooking shows.
I didn't know there was weed cooking shows.
Yeah, man. Viceland had one where the nigga had the whole like 3-course meals too.
Yeah.
I'd rather be there. I don't want to watch these on TV anymore, so I'm good.
There is a lot of shit streaming right now, though.
How did Khalees even get into, like, what is this?
I don't know. I didn't know she could cook. I didn't know she was
like,
in there.
I didn't know she smoked weed. Like,
I didn't know that either. I didn't know. That completely went over my head. Yeah. But there's so much shit streaming right now. Like, this is like 20th on the list if I was to watch
it. I don't even know if it makes it. I'm rewatching something before I watch it.
Like, this.
Weedekit, that's the name of the vice show. Weedekit.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. Nah, check it out, man. 6 episodes. That's light work. What else, man?
It's rough. Big L's going out to Blockboy JB. He says he's a fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah. He said, he tweeted, "I'm starting to like Trump because dude ass too gangster." And then he says he slick would have voted for him if he wasn't a felon.
See, now I'm not getting into people's political views here.
Okay.
If he likes Donald Trump as a person, I don't got a problem with that. A lot of rappers did.
Right.
Before he was president. I just don't think that he's qualified to do his job. So,
no, I don't think anybody thinks that.
So I think that when people get it misconstrued, like Black Boy JB, and they say, oh, I like this dude, you like him if he was like the head of a business, but this the motherfucker.
Right, and it's running the country.
Got the pandemic going on. He like, blowing you don't really it. Like him for that, my nigga. You losing money behind it. So
right.
I could see him liking as a person. I ain't going to be hard on Black Boy JB for that.
Yeah, he said that in response to Trump's, when the reporter asked him about his words to, you know, comfort the American people. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He said that. He said, that's it, right? You're a terrible journalist. You're terrible. You are a terrible journalist.
Now, the gangster shit he done did over this shit when the gal was like, well, why are you calling it the Chinese virus? He was like, well, it came from China, didn't it?
Right. That's, I don't know if that's gangster or just stupid. Like, I don't know.
Came from China, didn't it?
I don't know. Block Boy, I seen Block Boy.
That's stupid.
Did you see him on his IG jump off the balcony into the swimming pool? And he missed time to jump and almost fucking killed himself.
Man, two stories.
Yeah.
That's Memphis shit right there, though.
He jumped over the fucking balcony like blind, though. Like, you know what I'm
saying?
There's
nothing you could have told me after jumping over the balcony I would have been surprised about.
That's true. He almost missed time to jump, almost killed himself. Shout out to him, though.
Big L's to Cameron for turning down the role in Uncut Gems. He said, and I quote, he went on his IG and he broke this whole long soliloquy and told the director. He said he gave consulting to the director and the director played him and tried to give him a sucker role.
Yeah.
What do you think?
He played himself because that movie was fire.
Thank you.
Cameron, that movie was fire.
Cameron's been doing this his whole career. Like, he's been his biggest, worst enemy this whole career. Like this movie, like, nigga, if Cam had been in this, Cam jumps off the screen anyway.
Yep.
He knows what he's doing as far as acting. We've seen that in Paid in Full. This would have been a big opportunity for him. But, I think Cam thought he was a little bit bigger than the room.
And this would have been the second best movie that he's been in, and it wouldn't even been close.
First?
I mean, obviously Paid in Full. But I'm saying all that other shit that his joints, his old movie joints.
Killer Season.
That shit's ass, bro.
I ain't never watched it.
Oh, my God. Killer Season.
Yeah, subject myself Killer Season to 2.
And it's trash. But I was wondering what would the role have been. I was like, damn. Did you see it, though?
I ain't seen it yet.
Oh, fuck.
It was on, like, I may watch it when I get home tonight.
You blew it.
It was on. They had it for like 1999. Like, relax.
Nah, they tripping with that. Then The Weeknd is in the movie. He has a cameo, and I
seen
bet
where he got beat up.
Yeah, I bet. I wonder if that was going to be the role that Cam was supposed to have that he offered him to get beat up.
It's acting.
He may not have really even. He might have offered him a bullshit role because it's Cameron in 2020. Let's keep it 1,000, bro.
That's true.
Like, if we being all the way.
Well, I think
Cameron
was insinuating that he only offered him the sucker role because he did want to pay him for his consulting fees. I think that he was saying that.
Okay.
I think that he was saying
that's
that, like,
slaughter.
He broke him off and he explained to him how this shit would happen in New York, and dude was like, "Cool, you want to be in a movie?" And Cam was like, "Nah, nigga, I want my money."
Gotcha. Yeah, so. Gotcha. Probably one line.
Yeah.
Him walking on the street passing the nigga.
What's up, Dunny?
What's up, Dunn? That's it. Cut. That was it.
And you're out. It's a wrap.
Hey, but real quick, though, the two people that were supposed to be in it that didn't end up being in it, Jonah Hill was supposed to play Adam Sandler's character originally, and Joel Embiid was supposed to be there instead of Garnett. He was offered that first. So
seems like the other one with Joel Embiid and what's him called would have been a better
and
movie.
Jonah Hill.
Ooh, that would have been fire.
Nah, Adam Sandler body bagged.
I
got to
see it. I'm going to watch that tonight.
Ooh, he body bagged it.
Watch it tonight.
On deck of the week, we are going to iTunes. Shout out to new comment. Shout out to Nitty282. He says, one of my favorites, the best music podcast out, Bottom Line 100. Shout out to Spike Lee and Animal Brown. Keep up the good work and keep holding down. We appreciate you, Nitty. Good looking, bro.
Shout out to our boy that told us what that song on.
On Jay Electronica.
Jay Elect, man, on Twitter. Appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, man, because I had no fucking clue what that stood
for.
What
none of that meant, man. Has Jay Elect grown on you any?
Yeah, but I liked it to begin with, though.
Shit, trash.
Stop.
25K, we can talk about that. You thought it would do 100,000. You want to speak on that?
I was way off on the number. I'm going to keep it out.
It's amazing that a project with Jay-Z would have 25,000 on it.
Completely missed that shit. Not even going to lie to you. Who was that? Jay Electronica caller?
Remember my barber used to call in, Kimani? I was saying I should have went live on here and told him he's on the show.
He interrupted the show in person and virtually.
He likes to do that.
What you got to put me on?
I don't know if you put me on this or I know we've talked about it before. I don't think it was in the put on section, but the show on FX Dave.
Yeah, with you the said rapper that last Little week, Dicky. Man. Stop repeating the damn put-ons, dude.
I hadn't watched it last week. I just started watching it this week.
You said it last week, man.
I think you're
man.
Being confused.
Shit.
I've watched Dave finally, and it's fire. Y'all go check out all three episodes. I think you're confused. You need to run it back.
That shit does look funny.
It's funny as shit.
I will say, y'all need. I'm going to put y'all on my top 10 end of the world movies.
Oh, my God.
Because they were fire. I put them on
Nobody
IG.
Nobody cares.
They were 10 dude. For 10. If you haven't seen all of these movies at least twice, you bullshitting with yourself.
That's white people shit.
Number 10, World War Z. Number 9, Contagion. Number 8, Dawn of the Dead. Number 7, War of the Worlds. Number 6, A Quiet Place. Number 5, Zombieland. Number 4, Cloverfield, all right? Number 3, Signs. Number 2, 28 Days Later. And number 1 is Outbreak. Obviously, that's a classic. These are all classic. The world is finna end due to zombies, due to some type of disease or aliens invading
you
us.
Will Smith movie?
That's I Am Legend is number 11. That's an honorable mention.
I Am Legend is better than 8 of those movies.
That's not, no.
Easily.
Fuck no. No, you just haven't seen them.
The best movie on there is Quiet Place, and then I Am Legend would be second.
Quiet Place was fire.
That shit was good.
Quiet Place.
Your boy from The Office, Jim,
he bodied it.
And he directed that.
Tough.
And
that's his wife,
that.
Too.
And that's his wife in the movie.
Yeah.
That shit was pretty good. Check out Quiet Place. Quiet Place 2 got pushed back.
Yeah, check out all 10 of the movies I just named.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think nobody.
It's perfect for this time right here.
Yeah, let's watch these movies about the end of the world right now. It drives everybody anxiety up. I am cool.
Hey, man, y'all keep fucking with us. We appreciate it. YouTube.com/Realville. Subscribe and like. And Patreon.com/Realville. Go get those new album reviews up. We've got Rick Ross Mastermind up that we just did. And we did Royce the 5'9 last week. Y'all make sure to keep it locked on there.
Yes, man. We appreciate you listening. As always, go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, like. Tell us what you think about the podcast. We appreciate the listeners. We appreciate the fellow podcasters. We out.
Holla.